Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN 2, your smart speaker, your podcast. We're asking on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Which quarterback needs to win multiple playoff games this year? Prove themselves. So we are coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Key J, how are we doing so far?
Doing great.
You're wonderful, Max.
Yeah.
Just great.
Wonderful.
Very wonderful.
Whose voice is that? Whose voice is that?
He's just inventing a new voice.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily anyone's voice.
Yeah. Sometimes you typically do those things with somebody's voice in mind. That's why.
We'll get there.
Yeah. Oh. That's called a tease, ladies and gentlemen.
So, guys, the last time Aaron Rodgers faced the Bears, he told the fans he owned them. So, of course, Matt Nagy was asked yesterday about those comments because they're going to play those two teams on Sunday. And here's Matt Nagy's response.
I own your stuff at the end of the last game. Do you guys put that up on your in your room at any point this week? Do you bring it up Saturday night? Do you use it as motivation at all?
I mean, we're aware of it.
He should have said, well, he does own us.
No.
He does. Well, it's true. It's true. If you read, if you look at Matt Nagy's paycheck, Aaron Rodgers signs the check. I mean, Rodgers is like, look, we've had a lot of success the last 27, 28 times. Sometimes the killer line is just with straight truth.
But you, man, you... If you only knew some of the stuff that go on in terms of the conversations that take place in trash talking, I mean, like, that's normal.
Yeah.
Like, Aaron Rodgers really do, to a degree, own the Chicago Bears. They can't beat him. Cannot beat him.
Let's bring ESPN 1000's David Kaplan into this conversation. Morning, Cap.
What up, Cap?
Good morning, gentlemen. How we doing?
We're doing good. How are you doing? How are Bears fans doing after this Rodgers and Nagy kind of back and forth?
You know, it's just, I think everyone's just waiting for the other shoe to drop. I don't see any scenario where this guy returns as the head coach. He's like the nicest guy in the world. You'd love him as your next door neighbor. He's just not very good at his job, which he was brought here to be an offensive guru. Can you guys tell me who the quarterback was the last time the Chicago Bears beat the Green Bay Packers?
I would say it was
Jay Cutler.
No, not Jay Cutler. It was not Colt McCoy. It's that court that not Kay McNown, but that the one you went to the Super Bowl with. Rex Grossman. They all the same. Rex, Kay McCown, they all kind of the same.
Sorry collection of quarterbacks in Chicago.
Those dudes. Rex Grossman, right, Cap?
No, it would be Mitchell Trubisky. Mitchell Trubisky clinched the NFC North title in 2018, beating the Green Bay Packers 24-17. And, you know, if you go back and look at Mitch's numbers, and I'm not advocating for Mitch, I'm just telling you, that dude's record, he has like a 650 winning percentage as Matt Nagy's head coach. 650.
Yeah, he's not like all the guys that Key just named. He's different. Talent-wise, he's different.
Yeah, he is. I named some trash. Huh?
So,
Cap.
People are just waiting for the change to come. That's what they're waiting for.
Speaking of those quarterbacks that Key mentioned, you know, when I read this two nights ago, I was appalled. And I saw that you retweeted it earlier in the week that said the Bears were on pace to throw for only 100 yards more in 17 games than Sid Luckman did in 1947, did in 12 games. Which wasn't a pass-heavy offense in 1947.
Had they invented the forward lateral yet?
How bad is this offense, and what does that say about it?
This offense is awful. It's absolutely awful. What bothers me most is we are, like, we'll throw a party. Oh, my God, we got 22 points. Holy smokes. We should have a parade down Michigan Avenue. We're so resigned to being pathetic around here, and everything has to change. But let's assume that you clean house in football ops and coaching. Let's assume that happened. The two dudes making the hire, that'd be George McCaskey and Ted Phillips, have proven to be incompetent at knowing anything about what it takes to hire somebody good. They just keep hiring the wrong people. And these are the same guys that had Mark Trestman and Bruce Arians as their final two and picked Mark Trestman. I mean, that's what we're talking about here.
Well, I think when you look at it, like I was talking to you yesterday, Cap, about on your show, when you start to identify candidates, just as from a head coach's standpoint, you cannot go into it hiring somebody based on what somebody else is telling you. That's what happened
Correct.
With Matt Nagy. They told you Matt Nagy was calling plays. They told you those sort of things. When, in fact, everybody in football that know anything knows Andy Reid. And so
Correct.
That's kind of what happens. When you had Lovie Smith, Lovie Smith was calling the defense. He was calling it. And so you had a good head coach in Lovie Smith. Took you to a Super Bowl. But you decided to move on from him. You hired Mark Trestman. You then hired Coach John Fox that was at the end of his tenure. For whatever reasons, they did it. There are opportunities out there to go take somebody else's coach, offer up something if you're going to clean house. There are going to be candidates out there that could get Justin Fields going in the right direction. It's just a matter of, are they willing to spend the money to go get that, the draft capital plus the economics?
Yeah, they've shown that they're willing to move draft capital. They do it all the time. And, you know, some of those picks turn out to be really astute, like trading up in front of Buffalo to get the guy they wanted in David Montgomery. That was good. But then, you know, you trade for Mitch Trubisky. That doesn't work out. Then you trade down in the second round to recoup draft capital. Oh, and Buda Baker gets picked in the pick you gave up, and you get Adam Shaheen. So, you know, they can't get out of their own way, this team. But this is Chicago. I believe there are four markets in this country where sports is religion. Chicago, Boston, Philly, New York. The rest of them, they're not at that level where it's religion. I mean, L.A.'s got beautiful weather. They got good teams. They got other stuff going, too. But we have to think like that here.
I'm trying to think if there's not, any other
who's
market.
The hottest coordinator? Who's the hottest coordinator? I don't care. I don't care who the best coordinator is. Go, like he just said, steal Sean Payton or go steal John Harbaugh or Mike Tomlin or whoever is willing to leave. And if it takes a draft pick and $18 million a year, do it. You got a $4 billion asset.
I'm thinking about those markets. That's just interesting to me. I'll add one, Cap, to those four. I think Cleveland is the same way. I think Cleveland cares so much about their teams. Yeah. Anyway.
Justin Fields was cleared to play. Is this good for him and the Chicago Bears, or should they just sit him for the rest of the year?
So I gave this a lot of thought. Jay Cutler was on with my friends Waddle and Sylvie. Jay Cutler said, if you are moving on from Matt Nagy, and by all accounts it looks like they will, Jay said, I would not play him. Why would you put him back out there in harm's way when you know the coach is not part of the future? What are you really learning? Tommy Waddle feels like anytime you're taking a snap, you are gaining experience in the NFL. I'm more leaning with Cutler that I would not play him, but look, if he's healthy, football players play. I understand that argument. So let's see if he can go out and think it shocked the world in Green Bay Sunday night. That would be hilarious. Because I can tell you, there are certain guys, former Bears, Olin Krutz, Alex Brown, Lance Briggs, they think that this team, Justin got a late hit on him a few weeks ago. Nobody steps up and says, you're not going to hit our quarterback. Like, nobody. Aaron Rodgers does that. Nobody lays a hand on him. I would like to see a little more pride Sunday night from the Chicago Bears. Mm,
yeah, we were talking about that earlier. Do something about it. That is David Kaplan on the Goodyear Hotline. Thanks, Cap.
Go Bulls, Cap.
You got it. Have a great day, guys.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Is there anyone with more pressure to win the whole thing than Rodgers this year?
I don't see it that way. First of all, I think if anyone can handle the pressure, it's Aaron Rodgers. I don't really think he has any issue with that. Pressure, look, everyone is going to have the pressure. I just don't think it's Aaron at this point.
Woo. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The question is this: which quarterback needs to win multiple playoff games this season to prove themselves? So, we talked about the expectations for Matthew Stafford. Key and Diana Russini agreed it's Super Bowl or bust. I agree with that, but only in terms of his entire time in L.A.
Well, you don't agree.
The counter to that is, well, this is his best shot, et cetera. I think he absolutely must win a playoff game. But is it, in terms of Super Bowl or bust, the same for Aaron Rodgers?
For me, it is based on where he's been in his career. He's been there. He's been two straight years in a row. He's gone to the NFC Championship game. For many years, the complaint was he never had anything. We don't hear anything right about his receivers now, even though those were the same guys to a degree that he had 5 years ago.
He's always had pretty good receivers.
He's always had good everything.
Yeah.
We don't hear that. And if you package all of the offseason stuff and everything that's gone on since last year's NFC Championship game to where we are today, it's been a lot. And if we want to say he's the greatest quarterback of all times and all of that sort of stuff, I would think that you would have to put another Super Bowl on your resume. That's just what I think.
I agree.
Doesn't mean I'm right. Doesn't mean he can't be the great, but it just seems that way to me.
Can I put a twist on this? That's why when we went back yesterday and we were discussing Key's buckets and we were talking about Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady, when I'm looking at quarterbacks in the league where it is Super Bowl or bust, Tom Brady, Super Bowl or bust, right? Patrick Mahomes, Super Bowl or bust. Aaron Rodgers, Super Bowl or bust, right?
There's a difference.
Dak Prescott, I'm like, you like win a game.
Yeah.
Win a game.
Okay, I hear you, Jay. I understand, and we could do a whole segment on that, but just to – let's table that for
even,
a second.
I wouldn't even say Super Bowl or bust.
Here we go. let's stay with Aaron Rodgers for a second. No, I get it.
No,
I get it. The different expectations.
I wouldn't say Super Bowl or bust for Brady now, because much like Max is getting ready to say, because Brady doesn't have to go to the Super Bowl.
It's all gravy for Brady.
Yeah, he's just having fun at this point.
He wants to just take another boat ride. He's 44 years old. He's got seven chips.
When the hell has Brady ever just done things to have fun?
Okay, but
get the hell out of here.
Wait, Jay. I just want to stay with Rodgers. Right, I hear what you're saying, but we could talk about this every offshoot of this all day.
Stay on Rodgers.
So Rodgers, everything everyone always said, oh, Brady has Belichick. Brady then wound up with Randy Moss at one point. If Rodgers had those kind of things, he'd be. What could Belichick do with Rodgers? Year one in the NFC. Year one. Now, Brady stacked the deck, came with a loaded team, added AB and Gronk, Lenny Fournette, the whole thing, right? Had everything. But the fact that those two met in the NFC Championship game, the ball got taken out of Rodgers' hands, and Brady winds up winning the game and winning the Super Bowl. Guys, the reason I think he is right here, Jay, once upon a time you needed to win a championship, right? Dan Marino never won a championship. Montana had four. But Brady has raised it to such a – he's got seven. Mm-hmm. Now just winning one, you're not going to be in that conversation. You got to win multiple.
I agree with that. And prior to Brady continuing to win championships, up until a couple years ago, it was still Montana. Up until several years ago, it was still Montana.
That was the debate, Brady or Montana.
It was Montana. But it's hard to say Montana when a dude got seven.
He's almost doubling them.
Yeah, it's hard to say that. But when you only got one, and on top of that, one trip to the Super Bowl.
And he's stacked now,
it's
Jay.
Gonna be
That's
tough.
What I th-
you, you, well, okay, so I hear you, but would that change, would that alter just the talent itself? Like, would you alter the way you, and it's really to legacy, right? Even if he didn't win, would you still not say that, man, talent-wise, he's just the greatest I've ever seen? You would probably say, you know, he's probably underachieved.
This is what I would say.
He's one of, because the guy who he replaced was a you-know-what with the football. Ridiculous. That dude number four was crazy. They're in the same building. He has one.
Here's the thing about Aaron Rodgers. He really did revolutionize things. Like, we talk about Steph Curry as a revolutionary player in that he's not only throwing 40-plus touchdowns, he's only throwing single-digit interceptions. Brett Favre, when people say, oh, he didn't turn the ball over a lot in the middle of his career, what about 16 interceptions a year?
But he took chances, ridiculous chances,
understood.
Though.
But so does Rodgers, and doesn't turn the ball over.
Not the same way as Brett Favre.
Brett Favre was trying to thread that football through a hole this big if he could.
I get it, but that's not always a good idea.
That's just what he wanted. That was just his gunslinger mentality.
Are you saying Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers are the same pretty much? Okay. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't get another championship, because I don't think I can go down that road. I still think Aaron Rodgers is better than Brett Favre.
In terms of what I've seen Favre and playing against Favre and watching Favre for all those years, and I'm watching Aaron Rodgers, that's the same thing to me if a guy only has one championship. I don't care what nobody tell me. Because I watched Brett Favre do some magical stuff, that crazy, underhand, the same stuff you see Patrick Mahomes doing now. I saw Brett Favre do that against us.
But Mahomes
religiously.
But Mahomes improved that because he was doing all that stuff and not turning the ball over,
but
right?
But I don't care about the interceptions, Max.
I do.
I'm talking about the talent level that you're going to speak of when you say a guy being able to pierce the football like Aaron Rodgers and do those sort of things. Brett Favre was doing the same exact thing. Except he needed to win. He needs to win another championship.
Yeah, see, let's get to the calls, but that's why. See what Key is saying? That's why. Because someone's going to argue this guy has talent, that guy has talent. And once you get to that level, what starts separating the guys, we start counting rings. Chips.
Yeah.
Patrick in Atlanta, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, hi, guys. Listen, for me, it is Super Bowl win or bust for Aaron Rodgers, because if you look at it like this, his entire career has been in the NFC North, right? So, like, he could have a 6-11 team, but because of the NFC North, they're 12-5, and he's getting all this praise. He pads his stats, a terrible division, gets those wins every year, and he has been to as many Super Bowls as Rex Grossman, okay? So, like, I don't know what Kool-Aid ESPN is drinking, but the guy pads his stats and can never win. So, yeah, he's talented, but he's not a winner. He's not greatest of all time. He's
been
not
a
even
miracle
in
man in the playoffs, too, though. He's had miracle plays in the playoffs.
You can't call this dude he's not a winner.
No, of course
you can't say that. No. Like, it takes everything to go right to win a Super Bowl. Like, there's a huge element of luck that goes into that. Huge. You can't say he's not a winner. That's blasphemy, man.
He's a winner, obviously. But the standards for winning at the very top of history have now changed because Brady almost doubled Montana's Super Bowl wins. So now people look at one and they go, not like, oh, if Marino would have gotten that one, maybe he's the GOAT.
The pressure is on Aaron Rodgers to win a Super Bowl because there's a different lot of layers to this. There's the Brady factor. There's the Brett Favre factor. There's the legacy where you've only been the one factor. It's a lot. It's the off season. It's the coming into it. It's the
back-to-back NFC championship
games.
It's a lot
stacked up on it. And that's why I say when you talk about pressure, yeah, he may be able to handle the pressure, but you can't tell me there's not pressure to sit there and go, man, I got to get this done.
Rodgers has 45 touchdowns against 13 INTs in the playoffs in his career, which is a little high because you're facing better teams. 45-13, though.
But the man
is still better than 3-1.
But he's going to do that, though. That's who he is. He's a guy who's going to do that. There's no question about it. But at the same time, winning a championship takes him to a different level. You can't get into the conversation with just one.
I agree.
And by the way,
it's hard.
Why do you think the offseason was the way the offseason was? Because the ball wasn't in his damn hands.
Right.
At the end of the game. Aaron knows this about legacy. He wants to cement his legacy as well.
But this is how great he is to the eyeball, in terms of the eyeball test. If he wins a Super Bowl this year, he may still not be in the but if it's any point in his career he wins it, like, he needs at least two. But if he got to three, he has so many, oh my God, did you see that type plays, that he will be in that conversation with Brady if he got to multiple or three.
You mean win three.
If he won three. he would start, because people would be Brady was on better teams. But,
if he's out the three, you can have that conversation. Brady was on better teams. Then you can start discounting Brady early Super Bowl wins if you choose to do so.
Belichick wins.
I mean, you can start doing that if you choose to.
Oh, how about this, Jay?
Oh, but people do it now.
I know, but I can't. I can't do it.
Jay, what do you do now? How about this, Jay? Belichick beats Brady in the Super Bowl at some point, right? And Rodgers gets to at least two, maybe three. He'll be in that conversation because
that's what y'all do.
50?
That's a good point, too. That's a good point,
too. Playing a game at 50 years old when Belichick beats him. He finally got him. Yo, the avocados ran out.
You know what's so insane? Even though he stacked the deck, Brady, he came to the NFC. Oh, in the AFC East, sure, Belichick. He leaves Belichick, comes to the NFC, goes through Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes at the age of 43. Like, it's insane.
But he might win an MVP at the age of 44.
He's still good. He's not 40, whatever he is, 44. What is he?
44.
Yeah. At 44 years old, he doesn't play like he's 44, so he's still good.
Yeah, that's the thing. He doesn't look past his prime.
Everybody concentrates on his age. When I'm watching him, I don't even think about his age. I just look at his ability, and then I factor in the age. That's a hell of a point.
Jay, that's 44. A hell of a point.
I don't start off saying, oh, he's 44. I look at it and go, oh, he's pretty damn Jay, good.
I disagree with that just because I wake up every morning. I'm like, damn, I'm 40. My body hurts.
But listen to the logic underneath that point is sound. In other words, Key, correct me if I'm wrong.
I will.
We point to 44 because it's like, but by then he was past his prime. He really wasn't this guy anymore. The point about Brady is wherever he is relative to his very best, he's still Brady.
But if you beat him
while he's still Brady, that counts even if he's 44.
He's still doing the same things when he was 34.
Yeah.
I was asking,
how far off is Brady from his very best? What was his very best? And how far off is he right now?
Well, his very best was probably the year that they went 16-0, Moss year.
But they lost the Super Bowl.
They lost the Super Bowl that year.
Well, yeah, but I mean, as far as the statistics and all that sort of stuff, so he's not far off. That's why I said he was doing this. He's doing the same things right now that he was doing at 34 years old.
Yeah.
Nothing's really changed.
He had a great year last year. He's having a great year this year.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. Guys like that, it happens.
I don't think there's anything Aaron Rodgers can do to catch that.
But you know what he is? He's like, in baseball, be like Hank Aaron. Every year, Brady's going to hit you 40 home runs. He's never going to hit 60, but he's going to hit 40 every year forever, so he's going to break the record, right?
He's really good.
So his peak is like just almost as high as any peak ever, but it's not. I can't sit here and say I've never seen something better. I've seen Aaron Rodgers. I think that's better. I just think it's better. It's just
I don't know that it's better. It's different.
For sure, different.
It's different. I don't know that it's better because Brady is surgical. Mm-hmm. And when you're surgical, that means you at the top of it. You know?
I do.
Precision. Yeah.
It's just, you know, that's what he is.
Because the number one attribute of a quarterback is diagnosing defenses quickly and It's making the best decisions the fastest. That's what Brady's the best at.
When the ball leaves Brady's hand, I never go, oh, my God, what's getting ready to happen?
Yeah.
I don't worry about that.
It's funny
you refer to Mac Jones as a natural, and I'm like, nah, Tom Brady is natural.
Yeah, I hear you. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. So the rest of Week 14 in the NFL is on the way, guys, including a huge game for a team with Super Bowl or bust expectations. All right, listen to the Man in the Arena podcast, a 10-part series exploring how sports has an impact on our everyday lives through the lens of Tom Brady's career, brought to you by ZipRecruiter and available wherever you get your podcasts. Evan, let's play Take Your Pick.
Yeah, and let's start in the AFC North Battle of 2018. Draft picks, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield. Take your pick.
You want me to set it off?
Go ahead.
Lamar Jackson. I mean,
that's not even a question.
All day.
I'm going to take Baker Mayfield in this situation. Lamar Jackson coming off a rough game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think Baker Mayfield's had some rest. He can bounce back. Shoulder should be good. Legs should be good. You know, he's got more to work with Kareem Hunt, along with Nick Chubb on the offensive side, a healthy Landry, Higgins. I mean, it's just I like Baker Mayfield in this situation up against Lamar.
A lot of questions looming around Lamar. How come he can't pick up blitzes differently? And the turnovers, I get all that. But at the end of the day, this team, they make you play sloppy. And when I think about the Cleveland Browns, Do they have a chance to kind of recover? Yes, maybe to a degree, but I trust the sloppiness. That sounds crazy. I trust the sloppiness of the Ravens and Lamar Jackson to get it done when it's all said and done.
I'm with you, Jay.
All right, Take Your Pick brought to you by Napa. At Napa, when it comes to serving you, their motor never quits. From next-day delivery and curbside pickup to getting involved in local communities, that's Napa know-how. Jimmy G, Joey B. That's Joe Burrow.
I'm going to take Joey B in this one. I think when you look at where he is, he has his weapons. He has Mixon. He has T. Higgins. He has all of the pieces in place for him. He has Ja'Marr Chase. Well, on the flip side of things, Deebo Samuel is up in the air. The running game is up in the air for Jimmy G. And I think that Cincinnati losing last week and trying to come from behind, they made a strong push against the Chargers. I think they carried that little bit of second half momentum into this game against Jimmy G.
Niners favored by a point on the road. Wow, that's interesting. I'm going to go with the Bengals, everything Key just said. But also, look, guys, I think they're the best team in that division. And they definitely have the most talent in that division, healthy talent in that division. So my expectations are for the Bengals to win it.
This is really tough. I'm going to go with Joe Burrow, and I like Jimmy G a lot, but I like Joe Burrow a little more, so I'm going to go with him.
Derek Carr, Patrick Mahomes, take your pick.
We'll go Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes, this offense is not putting up the points that most people want to see, but they certainly are winning football games. They're doing it different. The last time we saw them against the Raiders, they hung up 40 on them, a 40-piece. So I think they take that same game plan in Kansas City, in Arrowhead Stadium, and try to utilize it. They've got to put up more points to satisfy the taste buds of these type of guys to my left and right.
I'm gonna go with the Chiefs here. Look, sometimes you see teams on your schedule and you say, all right, it's time to open it up a little bit. The Chiefs have won 5 in a row, right? A lot of their past wins have been because of their defense. The one game that offense opened up, it was against the Raiders. They won that one 41-14. I think it's going to happen again.
I agree. We're looking at 40-something points. I never gave up on the Chiefs ever. I always thought they were going to come out of the AFC. I think they're going to whoop up on the Raiders.
Second week in a row, a great Monday night football game. We got the Cardinals, the Rams, Matt Stafford, Kyler Murray. Take your pick.
Kyler Murray. I'm going to take my pick with Kyler Murray. I think, month off, got his ankle back going. We saw him at DeAndre Hopkins hook up last week against the Chicago Bears. I think they unleash in Arizona a little bit more. They understand what the Rams are all about. It's with the divisional rival. The Rams certainly need this football game, but the Arizona Cardinals need it too to get that first round bye. I'm going with Kyler Murray. I think they will throw the ball all over the lot because there's only one guy in that secondary that can cover people, and that's Jalen Ramsey. He can only cover one guy. There's other players out there. A.J. Green's out there, okay? So you got to worry about that more so than anything.
I think this one will be a bit close because the game's in L.A., but at the end of the day, I think the Cardinals are a cut above the Rams.
No, the game's in Arizona.
Didn't they beat them in Arizona the first time?
No, they beat them in L.A. That was the whole thing.
I was in L.A. Sorry, got my game's mixed
up. NFC West, man, teams go on the road and win.
Yeah, so fine. I'm taking the Cardinals.
Everything you guys said should have me pick the Cardinals. I think they're just better, the whole thing. And then we heard Diana Russini talk about Matt Stafford's back. I'm just going to go ahead and say I don't think the Cardinals are going to sweep the Rams. I think the Rams have to find some wins here. I think they're going to upset the Cardinals on the road.
Tom Brady owns the Bills. Like, you want to talk about Aaron Rodgers owning the Bears? Tom Brady legitimately has a stake in the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen, Tom Brady, take your pick.
I'm going to take Tom Brady. Simple reason. They have a much more balanced attack in the run game, play action pass game, whether it's play action, quick game, whatever you want to call it. Not having Tre'Davious White out there in the secondary for the Buffalo Bills up against Tom Brady could create problems for the Bills secondary. We saw him last week against the Pats. The Pats ran the ball down their throat. You're not going to see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with that same approach. You're going to see more of a balanced attack, more of a Tom Brady control type offense, but he's also going to get the football down the field to Mike Evans and Godwin and Gronkowski. So I'm taking Tom Brady.
I think the Bills offense is going to explode. I still think Tom Brady and the Bucs will win it at the end. Over under is 53.5. I think I'm going to take the over in this game. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game.
This is how good the Bucs are. Even without AB for now and with their secondary missing, They may still – they're in the conversation for best roster in the NFL.
Yes.
I like – as desperate as the Bills are going to be, and I like this, I agree with you, Jay, to be close, Bucks going to win this game.
What's the over-under?
53.5.
So does that mean the Bucks get like 42 of that 53? Is that what that means?
Could be, whatever it is.
All right, week 14 starts tonight. Big Ben, Kirk Cousins in Minnesota. Ugh. Take your pick. Who you got?
We all just made the stanky face. We all just said, ugh.
You know, I'm going to take Kirk Cousins in this situation. Even though Adam Thielen is out, he won't play due to an ankle injury, but they still got Justin Jefferson. Dalvin Cook is, we don't know yet on that shoulder injury that he's nursing. But I'm going to take Kirk Cousins in the dome. They're not going to drop back and throw the ball all over the lot with Big Ben. So, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm messing with Kirk Cousins.
I'll take the Vikings. I have a hard time trusting in their defense. I mean, you give up 29 points to the Lions, 34 points to the Niners. I still don't know if I see the offense for Pittsburgh being able to explode like that. Definitely taking the under in this game, but I'm going to take the Vikings.
This is the Can't Beat Detroit Bowl. Detroit has a tie and a loss and a win on the season. One tie, one win against Pittsburgh and the Vikings. But the Vikings are – you have to be embarrassed by handing Detroit their only win of the season, right? They're going to play
Detroit's
their best –
been close.
They're going to play their best football, the Vikings. I still like the Steelers to win. I like the Steelers to win this game.
Detroit's been close, though. They haven't gotten, like, just completely destroyed based on their record.
Yeah, they came close three or four times.
Yeah, they've been in games. Reminds me of my 1-15 New York Jet team I was on.
But still, man, if you lose to the only team without a win. That's Take Your Pick, the best quarterback matchups of Week 14 coming right up.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Take it or shake it.
Take it.
Take it.
Or shake it.
Shake it.
Take it or shake it.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. You can tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Let's play Take It or Shake It.
Yeah, and Take It or Shake It's brought to you by Grainger. Bryce Young will be the number one pick in the 2023 NFL Draft. Take It or Shake It.
Shake it!
Shake it! Shake it!
Yeah, I don't think as talented as he is and as amazing as his arm talent is, I don't think he'll be the number one overall pick simply because they'll push him down for his size. If you listen to our general manager, Mike Tannenbaum, the other day, we talked about that. He is a great talent, but I think people will shy away from him because of his size. Yes, there are smaller quarterbacks that have played in the National Football League and has flourished. There is Drew Brees. There is Kyler Murray. There is Russell Wilson. But I think the slight build will scare people off to some degree. Is that right? Probably not, but the league, you know, they like big dudes. They like them big old tall drink of waters, them Josh Allens of the world.
How many touchdowns to interceptions does he have this year?
Like 43 to 4?
Something stupid. If he has
so
that
really
type
like
of,
one.
One. If he has that type of year next year, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Regardless of size, he don't go one.
He's going one because the trend has been Baker – one, because he had a big numbers. He didn't deserve it. Kyler, in retrospect, Kyler won, and he's showing you why. And I think, Key, regardless of the size, eventually they're going to look at the numbers and they're going to be like, oh, and not only that, the eyeball test, and they'll roll the dice.
Yeah, eyeball test, but what you have and what you have there is you have a smaller quarterback that a lot of balls of Kyler Murray's get batted down in the pocket. Bryce Young is not the same type of quarterback Kyler Murray is. He's more of the Russell Wilson in the pocket, eyes downfield, looking to throw the ball, not looking to run. You know, I'd love to see him go number one. There's no, and he could. Maybe there's a coach that takes him and says, you know, Bill O'Brien or something.
Alabama wins the national championship. So Alabama basically versus the field. Alabama wins it. Take it or shake it.
Take it! Easy money, man. That's a layup. I love Luke Fickell. He's been on our show many times. We'll have him on again. But, yeah, he's up against it. And then if Georgia somehow get past Michigan, they scared of Nick Saban. And then Michigan don't have the same type of players and athletes as Alabama. So Nick Saban will get like his – what will this be for Nick? Six? How many championships does
it'll
Nick
be
have?
Six. Six. Five like at Alabama and six overall,
seven.
Right?
If it's five at Alabama, seven overall,
and six at Alabama.
Wait.
Wow. So he's seven over – he won six already at Alabama?
Yes.
So that'll be eight overall.
No. Oh. Yes, no, that would be eight overall.
Eight overall because he got the one at LSU. Wow.
Yeah, no, I know the one at LSU.
And
he's already got six at Alabama.
This battle between
9,
Bill Belichick
11, 12, and Nick 15, Saban is incredible. 17, 20.
Wow.
Nick
what?
Saban
I
is,
didn't realize he had that many.
Nick Saban's unbelievable. And a rubber match with Georgia would be amazing. I know it sounds like there's some storybook with Michigan this year. Like, it would be such a storybook.
Not going to happen.
They'd have to beat Georgia first, but I got my eye on them.
I don't know. We all thought that game against Iowa was going to be close, and that was not close.
No.
Not close.
Yeah, Alabama ain't Iowa. Neither is Georgia.
I hear you.
Tom Brady to Rob Gronkowski is the greatest pass-catching duo ever. Take it or shake it.
So before I shake or take, we're not talking tight end. You mean just pass-catching duo.
Yep.
Jerry Rice, Joe Montana.
That's the one that they'd have to replace.
Shake it!
Shake it!
Shake that. It's not better than Randy Moss in Tom Brady, and it certainly isn't better than Joe Montana in Jerry Rice or Steve Young in Jerry Rice or Michael Irvin and Troy Aikman. It's just not. Just not.
Well,
it's not.
Statistically and success-wise, though, Brady and Gronk have surpassed Montana and Rice. Right?
They got 90 touchdowns. That's like 20 or 30 more than Brady to Montana.
Yeah, I'm lost. What?
In other words, Brady to Gronk by the numbers, they've linked up for 90 touchdowns. That's more than Montana to Rice.
Yeah.
Plus they got the same number of championships 4-4. Plus it was portable. They took it. They got three in New England and then took the act with them to Tampa and won.
So yeah, the
numbers were favor Brady and Gronk. But I gotta tell you though, you know, we talk a lot
Gronk
about
doesn't
on the show
have
about
22,000 yards?
Listen, let me finish. All I was going to say is sometimes you talk about on this show about how it looks. Watching Jerry Rice and Joe, it looked right.
Montana to Rice is like
perfect.
When you want to say how something works out perfect, you say it's like Montana to Rice.
Rice, exactly.
You know, I think it's still Montana to Rice.
Yes.
But the reason it's an interesting question is Brady to Gronk, to me, has surpassed every other combination. And now they're looking at Montana and Rice.
How much do you think
That Brady to Moss in that 1 year.
But that's only 1 year, though.
Where's Peyton Manning, Marvin Harrison? Where's that to you, Key?
That's what I'm saying. That's right there, too.
But wait.
Manning and Reggie Wayne.
That's where it's hard. If they were in today's game with the way, that's what Jerry Rice
it'd
talked about.
It'd be many more touchdowns.
It'd be many more.
You're right.
It'd be many more.
By the way, Terry Bradshaw to Lynn Swan.
I wasn't born.
Aikman to Michael Irvin.
To the playmaker.
You know, but to me, look, Montana to Rice is number one.
See, I'll just look at it.
Is Brady to Gronk, have they passed the others and are they challenging that? I think for body of work, the answer is yes.
Yeah, but y'all, I guess for y'all look at it different than me because I factor in so much. I factor in heartbeat and soul. When you talk about Aikman to the playmaker, 3rd and 8, we knew where it was going. At all time, when nothing you could do about it. When we wanted to go downtown and take a shot, Randy Moss and Brady, nothing you could do about it.
Yep.
You remember that one-hand catch on the deep post against Revis that in the back of the end zone, Evan? Moss?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, that to me. Or when I was at the Giant game in the final game that they beat the Giants when they went 16-0, they attempted two straight bombs to Randy Moss. One of them was incomplete. They came right back and ran the next one.
I'll give you another one. The Super Bowl, where the Giants beat them. I don't know if people remember this. Brady had one last shot down the sideline, overthrew Moss by a little bit, but my heart was in my throat when that happened.
It just, that Moss thing, Jerry Rice thing. But Gronk, that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that.
I think it's number two. I think it's gaining on him. Like, Brady to Gronk is unstoppable. Like, what are you going to do? It's just,
man,
like the others.
You as a kid, you got to pay attention to Jerry Rice, though.
No. Montana like, to Rice. I agree with Jay. If they were around today, they'd have 150 touchdowns.
You just wonder how much longer Gronk and Brady can keep it going.
Take it or shake it with supplies and is brought to you by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is always there to help. Call, click Grainger.com. Just stop by. Last one, guys. Steph Curry will break the all-time three-point record against his brother Saturday. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Shake that.
No, he's not going to break it. He won't break it.
This dude's made 10 or more threes in 21 games in his career.
He needs 10 to break it.
There's always added on motivation when you play against your little brother. That's all I'm saying. And by the way, Joel Embiid never gets out on screen and rolls. Never gets out. Sits in the paint.
Take the last.
You know, I think he needed to hit a couple more. I think he might do it at Indiana. And I think in front of Ray Allen in Indiana may be the way it's going to shake out. One trade that can change everything in New York. That's next. KJM on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.